don't know, buddy.
Come on, Josh.
Woo! I don't know if you guys remember what the Devos were like before Daniel showed up. We'd have some nights where you're looking around like, who's going to lead a song this time? We're looking around. And I won't say some of the people we picked to lead some of those songs. But we're blessed. All right. So, I was asked to do a lesson on getting advice. I got to get my PowerPoint going here. All right.
Oh, pastor, there it is. Love the Lord.
So, that's what we're going to do. I was advised to do that, so I thought I'd take that advice. All right. So, I'm going to take maybe a little bit of a different take on that. I want to talk about how do we know what God's will is, okay? So, let's read a passage about that. In Colossians 1.
Come on.
You guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready, bro. Fire up,
dude. This is the fifth in our series about one another relationships and discipling one another. And it certainly falls in that category. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that's a pretty encouraging passage.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to please God. And part of pleasing God is knowing what His will is. Now, sometimes we don't want to know what God's will is because His will is for us to do something that we actually don't want to do. All right, but hopefully you're with me in that you want to know what God's will is. Alright, and in verse 9 he talks about how it's great that we can know God's will. Then verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. In other words, actually do it. Alright, so we're gonna have a 4-part outline on how to know God's will. Let's try to imagine. Alright, just do your own version, alright? So the 4-part outline on how to know God's will. So don't raise your hand or anything, but just imagine what the outline's gonna be, just for fun. Alright, what's that? How do we know God's will? Alright, let's see. Of course, this is just my outline. See if your outline is the same as my outline. Psalm 19:105. Now, we please God by doing His will.
That's it.
So, how do you know God's will? All right, Psalm 109 is a good passage on that.
Come on, boy. Good question.
Verse 105. Psalm 119. Did I say 109? Psalm 119. There's no verse 105 in Psalm 109. I just checked it out. There's. You've got that figured out. All right. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So David's trying to figure out, and I don't know, sometimes, like, what should I do in this situation? You know? What about this job? What about this relationship? Now, a lot of times, it's pretty obvious, all right? Should I lie to this person or should I tell the truth to this person? Probably, you can figure that one out. All right? But, you know, sometimes it's not obvious. And sometimes we're just in doubt. You know, what should I do about this situation, this opportunity? How should I handle this situation? And one way to handle it is by God's Word. Now, probably this is fairly obvious. All right? And really, it's the key part to knowing God's will is to know His Scriptures. But you know what? I think sometimes, you know, we read the Bible, but we don't learn how to use it to answer those questions. All right. Somebody's phone. Oh, there we go. All right. There she goes. It's very, very important, I'm sure. All right. Great. I used to give my students a hard time about their phone going off, but then one time the phone was going off in class, and I stopped, and it kept going off. And they're like, oh. So I give my students a little bit of grace on that one, you know. I say it one time, everybody gets that first time. All right. So let me share an example. Because the bottom line is, if the Word is going to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, you have to know how to use the Word.
Yeah.
A lot of us, you know, we read the Bible, but we don't ever get around to figuring out how to apply it to real situations.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to use a real situation. This is a real brother. He came up to me on Tuesday, said, "Bro, I had a situation where this is recent," and he knows I'm talking about him, but you guys don't know. All right, he said, "Yeah, we had this little conflict, and you know, and we started yelling at each other, you know, and we were, you know." All right, great. So my question is, what scripture would you use to encourage that brother and how to deal with that situation? See, if you can't answer that question in about 1 second, then, you know, see, my point is, then how can the Word be a light to your left your feet and light your path if you can answer that question?
Ooh.
All right, so what verse would you use for that? All right, yeah? All right, that's a good one. But a one that speaks specifically to the question of quarreling. And that kind of thing. All right. Yeah.
The servant of God must not quarrel.
All right. Good. Where is that scripture?
2 Timothy 2.
Exactly. Very good. 2 Timothy 2. Now, for me, I have to be honest with you. The Bible that I had when I was a baby Christian, I lost it about 3 years ago. And I knew it was in 2 Timothy. I knew it was in chapter 2. But in that Bible, I know it's 3/4 of the way down the page on the left hand side. So for this Bible, I have to kind of go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it takes me, you know, about 5-10 seconds. And by the way, there's a passage in Proverbs that speaks with that as well. So my point is, you know, if you want the Word of God to be a lamp to your feet and light your path, you have to start using it. You know, we talk a lot. I mean, Juan's been talking about this. When you're having discipling times, you have to have the Bible out. But a lot of us, the problem is, there's a situation come up, and we have to just give our opinion because we don't even know the scripture on that.
Oh,
all right? So I think we need to, you know, if the sword's going to be sharp and useful, especially to light our path and as it lamp to our feet, we need to start being able to know what scripture applies to what situation. And a question like that, you know, amen, Dan, you knew that, but if you've been a Christian for 10 years, and if you don't know a passage specific to that and able to find it, then I think you might want to be challenged in that area just a little bit. All right, so obviously, if we want to know God's will, the first place to look is in the Scriptures. The thing is, when you go to the Scripture, it's generally pretty clear. And by the way, in case you didn't know, in 2 Timothy, it's not very encouraging on the whole quarreling thing, all right? And it kind of gives you some solutions there. Okay, number 2, Romans 12. Romans 12. How do you know God's will? Well, read the Scriptures. That generally helps in most areas. All right? If you read the Scriptures, does that give you a clear-cut answer to every possible question that's going to come up in deciding what His will is? No, it doesn't. Because a lot of times, especially in the New Testament, Jesus' principles. So Romans 12, here's another piece of advice on how to know God's will. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Wow.
So point number one is you got to know the Scriptures and not just read them, know how to actually use them.
Right.
And be able to apply them to the real situations that come up. And point number 2 is living a dedicated life and a righteous life. And apparently, according to this passage, if we will devote our lives to God and if we will live a righteous life, then we're going to know what God's will is.
Amen.
Well, how's that work? I don't know. I don't have a formula for it. But think about this. Think about the people that you really deeply respect their wisdom about situations. And I guarantee you, that person is extremely devoted to the Lord and is living a righteous life. Well, that's kind of, I think I'm going to look for another way to know God's will other than, you know, if I have to be really dedicated and live, I'm just kidding. Hopefully nobody's actually saying that. If you are, well, you know, amen. Confess that later on. All right? But see, if we want to know God's will, what God does is He transforms us. He gives us wisdom over time.
Yeah.
And it's that training, that godly training that it talks about in Hebrews 5. So those of us who will dedicate our hearts, our whole lives to God and to living righteously, over time, He's going to give us the ability to know what His will is. I don't know about you, but I want to know His will. But there's no easy shortcut on this one, folks. All right? James 1:5. There's another passage that tells us how to know God's will. I think the first one is the Scriptures, and I think God transforming us through our spiritual worship and giving our lives to Him as a like a burnt offering, like it says in Romans 12. Okay, James 1:5.
Come on.
All right. James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and that's what we're talking about here, wisdom to know what God's will would be, right? If anyone wants to know God's wisdom, it lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So point number three, pray for wisdom. All right? And I'm not saying pray to know the answer. I'm saying pray for wisdom. And when you have wisdom, then you know the answer.
Amen.
All right, but the topic I was given is number four on my outline. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to know God's will for my life.
Yeah, right.
Now, occasionally, I admit, even when I know God's will for my life, I kind of run away from that occasionally. All right? Because, you know, I'm still working, God's still working on my heart. But I want to know what God's will is. And one of them is by seeking advice. Okay? So we're going to talk about that.
Come on, bro.
So we're just going to read some passages in this topic. Probably you knew where I was going if you've, you know, read the Bible very much. If you know we're going to talk about advice, like, hello, probably going to go to Proverbs. All right, so let's just spend a little bit of time in Proverbs, thinking about that. Okay.
Come on.
Proverbs 15:22. All right. It says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Now, some of us have had our plans fail. And we thought we had it all figured out. And, you know, we knew better than everybody else. Why? Because it's our life, you know. And besides, we're pretty smart. And we got it all figured out. Now, I'm one of the worst offenders in this area, just so you know, all right? I just be open with you, all right? I'm a prideful guy by nature. And, yeah, trust me. And, you know, I have people tell me I'm smart, and I start to believe it after a while. But being smart intellectually does not mean that you're wise, in case you didn't know that, all right? And if you think about it, you can think of some examples of pretty smart people who do pretty dumb things. All right? And I don't know about you, but I want my plans to succeed. Some of you are planning on getting married someday. Well, maybe you should seek some counsel. Some of you are hoping to have a decent job so you don't have to work until you're 83 years old. You got some plans there. Well, read the Scriptures. That'll help you out there. You know, live a devoted life, and God will just sort of change you so you just know the right thing to do.
Right.
Pray about it, but, you know, you might possibly want to seek some advice.
Amen.
You know, my experience is I can figure out, I can kind of see the right path for the other person, piece of cake. But then when I'm in that situation, I'm suddenly an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Does that apply to dating or not? Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. All right, Proverbs 11:24. How many of you have had plans that you had not succeed because you didn't seek advice? All right. So you believe this scripture is actually true then?
Yeah.
All right. So are you going to do something about it? All right, Proverbs 11:14.
Come on, bro.
We need advice. Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls. But many advisors make victory sure. So that means we need to have many advisors. How many? I don't know. Three's probably enough. You know, if you're trying to plot some war and some, you know, you might need more. You know, if you have a country, you're running a whole country, maybe you got a cabinet for all that kind of stuff. But three or four, many advisors. And again, lack of guidance. I don't know about you, I need guidance.
Yeah.
I'm an adult, I'm 58 years old. I still need guidance. Now, I don't need as much guidance as I did before. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk a bit about the stages of the Christian life and how to think about getting advice and the different stages. But if you think that you don't need advice, you're a fool, and you're going to have some failures going on. Proverbs 19, verse 20.
Come on, John. Good stuff, bro. Come on.
Yes. All right, Proverbs 19, verse 20. All right. You know, reading these verses is not going to do a whole lot of good, by the way, unless you're going to actually seek advice, all right? So hopefully, you know, hopefully you're planning on putting this into practice. It's nice. Yeah, I agree that advice is important. I definitely agree with that. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. It says here, listen to advice and accept instruction. And in the end, you'll be wise. Now, what if you ask for advice, but you don't listen to it?
You're a fool.
What good is that? And sometimes I think some of us, we already know what we're going to do, you know. We already decided what we're going to do. And we just get advice because, I don't know, that way if they ask if you got advice later on, you can say, yeah, I got advice. Now, One thing I want to say is, it says this leads, verse 20, yeah. It says, listen to advice, accept instruction, and in the end you'll be wise. So the idea is, you know, we're giving advice, and then we're listening, and we're asking why. Now there's two ways to ask why. One is like, why? The other one is, why? You know, help me out here.
Yeah.
All right, so generally, when we're giving and receiving advice, it's a good idea to explain why, okay?
Yeah.
Explain why. And by the way, it's just advice. I'll talk about that as well. But at the very least, we need to listen to the advice, all right?
Yeah.
So getting it, not good enough. You have to actually listen. Listening to and applying advice is key. Because the bottom line is, if you want to know what God's will is, first base, first grade, is getting advice.
Amen.
And then if you get advice from wise people, you kind of hear what they have to say and the reason, later on, somebody's going to ask you, and you're going to know how to even give that advice. And next time, who knows, possibly you won't even need advice on that thing anymore. All right? Okay, Proverbs 12:15. Okay. Proverbs 12:15. Says here, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Now, what's the definition of a fool according to this passage?
Coward.
What's the definition of a fool according to this passage? Somebody? Yeah.
Someone who thinks they're right.
Right. The person who thinks they're right. And you know how it works? The more you think you're right, the less right you are.
And the more foolish
you are. All right? Now, sometimes you're right. You know? And again, you know, you don't have to get advice on everything, all right? You don't have to get advice on, you know, what shirt to wear at a Diva, all right? You know? And some things you just know how to do. You know how to balance your checkbook. If you know how to balance your checkbook, by the way, I advise you to balance your checkbook. All right? You know how to balance your checkbook, then you're right on that one. You don't need help on that one. But the bottom line is, if you always think you're right, then you're going to continue to be wrong. All right? And we've all seen it. You know, we've gotten in situations where there's somebody who just simply refuses to seek advice. There's a brother who's close to me, and he gets himself in hard situations. And I say to this brother, well, just give me a call. And for a long time, he didn't take that advice. So then he'd be in that funk for days or weeks at a time. And just recently, it's gotten to the point where when he gets into one of these funks, he gives me a call. And guess what? They're not lasting as long. And that's a good thing. Proverbs 12:13. Now, Proverbs 13:10.
Come on, bro.
All right. By the way, this is another passage. In fact, I think this passage is probably even better for the situation. Daniel, the one you shared that I thought of first as well, I think Proverbs 13:10 is even better. All right? It's my opinion for that situation that this brother who I love, who's awesome and amazing and one of my favorite brothers in the world, whose name I won't say. All right? Proverbs 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels. All right? But wisdom is found in those who take advice. So if you find yourself getting in disagreements with people, if you're the kind of person who's just having confrontations fairly often, I think it's because you're not seeking advice. Because if you're seeking advice, now does that mean you'll have no quarrels? Or, well, maybe not quarrels. A quarrel, that's kind of conflicts with people? No. But if you're finding yourself in conflicts a lot, probably one of the main reasons is because you're not in the habit of seeking advice. So let's do that. The key to all this is in Proverbs 11, verse 2.
Come on, bro.
The key to letting the Word of God be a lamp to your feet and light your path. The key to presenting your body as a living sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to the Lord, and living a righteous life, then you'll know and approve God's perfect and pleasing will. The key to knowing God's will through prayer, and even probably more so the key to knowing God's will through seeking advice, is in Proverbs 11, verse 2. Let's read that. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. You know, it's interesting. The scripture, I think it was Shane on Sunday, he was talking about how humility comes from wisdom. Right? That's the scripture in James 3. Well, this scripture says wisdom comes from humility. Well, that's confusing. Does humility come from wisdom, or does wisdom come from humility? Well, that's one of those things. You know what I'm saying? So if you're a prideful dog, you're going to need a lot of advice, and you're also not going to want to get any advice, and you're going to have a lot of plans failing for lack of counsel. All right? So, I don't know about you, but I think we need advice. Now, Robert gave us an outline at the leaders' meeting a couple weeks ago, and he gave this outline a couple years ago. I think it's pretty useful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to kind of give less generic advice about getting and giving advice, because we're in different stages, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Robert describes the stages of life as chaos, conformity, questioning, and conviction. Alright, chaos, that's us before we submitted to God. And then we were a total, complete, utter mess.
Yeah.
I mean, and we were enslaved to sin and just making the dumbest decisions. But the moment we became a Christian, suddenly we had brilliant wisdom and knew how to make great decisions.
Not right.
No? So, you mean, you have to grow in wisdom after you become a Christian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that pre-Christian stage, that BC stage, is chaos. All right? And hopefully we've left that. And then the first stage of the Christian life, that's the unchristian, the baby Christian will, is conformity. And that's the time in your Christian life where hopefully you're looking to figure it out. And you're not convinced you've got it all figured out. And generally, the way it goes is, if the preacher says, this is what the Bible says, you say, Amen. Apparently, that's what it says. You know what I'm saying? And if you're a baby Christian, you have somebody who's discipling you, they say, sister, brother, this is how you ought to handle it. Hopefully, you kind of go, yeah, I don't really know much of anything. I think I'll handle it that way. And when we're in this stage, we need a lot of advice. All right? In fact, we even need advice on some things which might be sort of obvious, like on some pretty basic stuff. When you're a young Christian, you even need advice on how to dress.
Yeah.
You need advice on how to set your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need advice on how to act at work. You need advice on how to act around people of the opposite sex.
Yeah,
you need advice on how to go on and act on a date.
Amen.
You know, when we're in this stage, we need a lot of advice. And bottom line is, if you're going to be prideful and arrogant in this conformity stage, then you're going to stay in that conformity stage for a long time.
Yeah.
And some of us, we're still immature. We're still very immature as Christians because we never figured it out.
Yeah.
We never figured it out that probably, you know, we needed a lot of advice, so we're still behaving foolishly. Now, you can see the analogy here to raising a kid, especially if you've actually raised a kid, because the second stage in the Christian life is the questioning stage. That's the adolescence. And Christina, did you have a child that's coming close to that one? Yeah. All right, we're getting into that right now. Okay. And Christians go through this as well. At some point in your Christian life, the preacher says, this is what the Bible says, and you say, okay, just because you said that, that doesn't mean I'm going to believe it. All right? And do we need to go through that phase? Yeah, we need to go through that phase. Because at some point, instead of it being that other person's conviction, at some point, we want to get to stage 3. Now, but, you know, is it fun being around adolescents and trying to help them and give them advice? No. No, not at all. And so it can be hard to give advice to this kind of person. They're kind of, you know, they're ornery a little bit. But you know what? You know what we need to do with people like that? We need to let them be a little bit ornery. Not it's okay to be that way. But in other words, you know, we need to understand that sometimes people, they've been doing it this way for a long time. They've submitted completely, and that's probably what they need to do when they're a baby Christian. But at some point, you know, you got to make that transition. And if you have a 23-year-old and you ask them, you know, I don't know, what are you going to do today? Say, I have to call my mother. You know, I don't know, you know. What are you going to eat tonight? I don't know, I have to call my mother, you know. That's not good. All right, and so one of the goals, if you're discipling somebody as a younger Christian, is that they don't need you in that way anymore. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so we're training people. But some of us, you know, kind of the early history of our church, we didn't want people to go through this. We just wanted to be conformity all the time. That was kind of our mode of discipling. Conformity, conformity, conformity. And then we wanted people to be in the conviction, the mature stage. But you know what? You don't go from the conformity stage to the maturity stage without going through the adolescence. I don't know. Our kids didn't make it to adulthood without being teenagers. I don't know. And they're, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to be a little bit aware of this. For example, when somebody's in the questioning stage, they don't appreciate unsolicited advice typically. They just don't. All right. All right, and my wife shared about a situation not so long ago where she was giving, you know, possibly unsolicited advice to a particular sister, and the sister said, I didn't ask you your opinion. You're giving me unsolicited advice. Well, amen, amen, amen. You know, we can deal with that. Probably this sister is in the questioning phase, and that's okay too. And maybe she could have been more humble, possibly. I don't know. But either way, you know, we gotta kind of be aware of that.
Yeah.
And we kind of have to have some wisdom. In fact, sometimes you need to get advice about how to give to advice to somebody in this phase here, all right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, but, you know, of course, you know, sometimes we're in the immature stage in one area of our life, we're in the questioning area in another stage in another area of our life, and we're still in the not chaos, the conformity stage, all right? But in any case, brothers and sisters, we need to be committed to what the Bible says. And even when you're getting to that point in your life where the bottom line is, if they can't convince you, you're not going to do it. And that's okay. That's okay. All right, you still need to seek advice. You still need to listen to the advice. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to stay in that stage for a very long time. And I'm sure I'm glad I'm not a teenager anymore.
Amen.
All right? And that third stage, that's conviction. That's where we want everybody to get to. The fourth stage.
Yeah.
Well, the third stage of the Christian life. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, you're right. It's the fourth stage. But to me, that old self died. That's why it's number three. Just kidding. I just messed up. Okay, she's giving me advice that it's the fourth, and I'm arguing with her on that. All right, good. So conviction.
It is the fourth.
And when we reach that stage, there's a little bit of peace there. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody could say something to us that we don't agree with, and it's okay, you know? We don't have to agree with them. And we don't really worry about so much if somebody agrees with us. Because we have convictions, and they're biblical convictions. And when you reach this stage, you don't need advice anymore. Oh, so that's not true.
Nope.
Oh, so you still need advice.
Yep.
Now, when you reach the conviction stage in your Christian life, you know, there's areas that you probably could get by on for, you know, a significant period of time, you know, and you know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, the nice thing about this stage is this person has reached the point where they want advice because they actually understand that they need help.
Yeah.
So this person, you can go up to them, a baby Christian can go up to them and give them advice, and they say, amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, man, I hope that we get into this stage, because then, you know, we're easy to give advice to.
Yeah.
All right? And, you know, so sort of the trend that I'm trying to describe here is we're moving in our life from essentially advice-based Christian living to biblical-based and conviction-based Christian living, where we still seek advice. All right, but, you know, we've kind of reached the point where, you know, we have those convictions. Okay, so that, all right, great. Now, next, I just want to give just a few pieces of advice about advice.
Amen.
All right, got it? Not very many, it's going to be quick. So, anyway, to summarize my points, I don't know about you, but I want to know God's will.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because one thing I know is, I've learned in 34, almost 35 years as a Christian, that when I'm living in God's will, it goes a lot better.
Amen.
And when I'm living outside of God's will, there's that discipline stuff going on, and there's that fighting and quarreling, and stupid decisions and mistakes and cleaning up the mess, and all that kind of stuff. All right. Now, next point is the three biggies. You know, it's kind of funny. Yeah, we go to school, we learn about math and English and history, and we learn about how to, you know, our computers. You know, there's a few things they never teach you in school. And that's how to have a career, how to have good relationships, and how to parent your kids. I mean, those are off limits. In the world, you could talk about, all kinds of stuff. But don't even talk about marriage or dating, because that's hands off. All right? And you know, finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get advice from people in the world, but there's a couple of official rules. One official rule is, don't tell me how to handle my finances.
No.
And don't tell me how to handle my marriage or my parenting. Those are officially hands off.
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from? From Satan. Because those are the exact areas we need the most advice about.
We get divorced.
All right? Finances and career.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't know about you, but plans fail for lack of counsel.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of having a successful life is having a career that you can kind of take care of your needs and actually have a little bit extra to actually help somebody else. Imagine that.
Amen.
And if you're not in that situation, you need to get advice. And you need to not just get advice, brothers and sisters, in that area. You just need to flat out take advice. And there's people that I've given specific advice in career and finances, very specific advice, and I go back to them 3 months later, and they haven't done it yet. All right? And again, like I said, in this area, we can probably see it in somebody else, but we don't see it in our lives. So we need to be getting advice, no matter where you're at. Now, some of us are in that mature stage. You know, for myself, you know, I don't need a lot of help in deciding what to do with my career, you know. But most of us need a lot of advice on career and finances.
Yeah.
Finances. You know, what I mean by that is ask somebody what you should be doing with your money.
Right.
All right, how investment and spending and credit cards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, does this make the difference if you're going to heaven and hell? Could be. Because the love of money is the root of every kind of evil. Yeah. And then in relationships. Now, I don't see a lot of married people out there. I see a couple of married people out there. But I see quite a few who are hoping to get married someday. And when you're married, you need a lot.
Say it again, bro.
Of advice. All right.
A lot of
advice. And by the way, I like to think probably, I could be wrong, but on that four stages, I think I'm at least moving into the fourth stage. I hope that I am. But when it comes to marriage, I need a lot of advice.
Yeah.
But luckily, you all are singles, so you don't need advice on dating, probably.
Come on, Daniel. Get some advice,
right,
bro. Come on, Daniel. Get advice, bro.
And how many times have you seen that? You know that brother, that sister that gave the really strong advice about single dating and don't go to that situation. Don't let this happen. Don't spend too much time alone. Don't be on the phone too long. Don't blah, 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 blah. And then they fall in love and suddenly they're a total, absolute, utter idiot. And by the way, it's scientific. It's scientific. There's a National Geographic article about 4 or 5 years ago, and they study human brains. And when people have schizophrenia, and when they have manic depression, there's certain chemicals that are released in the brain. And when people fall in love, literally, the identical chemicals are released in the brain. So when you're falling in love, you literally go insane. And that's God's way of letting them, brothers, letting those sisters actually fall in love with you, because otherwise they'd have to be insane. All right?
That's the only way.
Get advice on dating.
Yep.
How often? 5 times a week. I don't know. But we're total idiots.
Yep.
In this area without advice.
That's true.
And even the most seemingly most mature Christian, all right, so just plan on it.
Yeah.
Besides, if you're ever going to get married, then you're going to have to get even more advice. All right? And I would say just relationships in general. Yes, even between sisters and sisters, between brothers and brothers, we just need advice.
Yeah.
We need a lot of advice. All right, then the next area is parenting. And there's a fair number of parents here. We've got a pretty decent number. And we need a lot of advice in parenting. And, you know, within the singles ministry, it might be a little bit hard to get that kind of advice that you need. Just that's just, you know, to some extent the way it is, all right? You could ask Wesley for advice on parenting, and he'll say, blah, blah, blah. All right? So my suggestion is to hook up with some married people, getting advice on those things. So that's point number one is there are certain areas, I don't care who you are, I don't care how mature you are as a Christian, you need to get advice in these areas a lot.
Yeah.
Okay?
Great point, bro. Come on. Very helpful.
Next! Don't go advice shopping. All right, here's what I want to hear. All right. I'm not going to get advice from that brother. No. Should I ask that sister? No. I know what she's going to say. Oh, there's that one brother. There's that one brother. What's that one at Jehoshaphat where they're saying we got to get some prophets in here to give us some advice? And they said, bring in, whoever it was. And they said, oh, don't bring that guy in. He always tells me what I don't want to hear. All right? So, yeah, Micah, thank you, Micah. Or Micaiah, I think, whatever. Okay, good. All right, don't go advice shopping. Because really, you're not faking anybody out, okay? And by the way, if you got advice from somebody, and then you get different advice from somebody else, what you should do is tell that person, okay, awesome, that's great. Just, you know, I also heard this, you know.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, good. So don't go advice shopping. You can go clothes shopping, it's okay. Don't go advice shopping.
Amen.
You know what I mean by advice shopping, right?
Yeah.
So I don't like those clothes. No, I don't like that shirt. That doesn't fit me. That shirt, no, I don't really like that. Oh, I don't really like that advice. Nah, thanks for the advice. I don't really like that advice. I don't like that advice. I like that advice. That's what I was going to do anyway.
Yeah,
that's like the person says, yeah, I'll submit to that person as long as I agree with them. All right, that's real submission there. Okay, great. Next, remember it's good, better, best. I think this is important, you know. Now, sometimes advice has to do with things that are just plain. The bottom line is, it's wrong, in which case, probably the Bible would have been good enough for that one. Usually, not always, usually we get advice on something that, you know, it's not clear. All right, and in that case, you have to remember it's good, better, best. And what does the Bible say we should go for? The best. All right, and so sometimes one person will say one thing, one person will say another. They're probably both good advice. All right, but we need to see. We always need to be seeking what's best. Another thing is another practical thing is avoid giving unsolicited advice. Okay. That's not a rule, by the way. There's no rule against giving unsolicited advice because sometimes the bottom line is somebody needs unsolicited advice, all right? There's times for that. But I'd say as a general rule, you know, in Galatians 6:4 it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. And essentially, to me, that what that means is always telling them what to do and not listening to them and, you know, and not letting them kind of grow up. And to some extent, you know, if somebody's not seeking advice, the best thing that could happen for them is fail. You know, they didn't seek advice. It blew up in their face. And then, you know, because God trains us that way. And the problem is, see, if you give unsolicited advice and they didn't even seek it and then it doesn't work out, what's going to happen? They're going to blame you. All right. And it's going to lead to bitterness and stuff like that. Especially, you know, those four phases, that third phase, the questioning one. I think, you know, we have to be a little bit sensitive here. Now, by the way, there's no rule in the Bible against unsolicited advice, all right? There's no rule against that. But I think to protect each other's heart, it'd be much better if in our fellowship, people sought advice. And then sometimes just let people get trained instead of by you, since they didn't seek your training. Let them get trained by God. There's a place for that. And again, this is, you know, again, get advice on giving advice here because it kind of depends on the situation. All right, but I would say, you know, as a rule, avoid giving unsolicited advice. So if somebody's in a situation and you know what they ought to do, you know, just think about it. Just think about it. Next point, advice is advice. Well, duh. Chocolate is chocolate. No kidding. You know, dogs are dogs, and, you know, air is air. So obviously advice is advice. But you know what I mean by that, right? And so we have to, you know, we have to kind of have a fellowship where this is, we understand this, right? So advice is advice. In other words, if somebody asks you for your advice and they don't take your advice, what should you do about that? Say, amen? Okay. Why should you do that? Because we have freedom in Christ. And if we have freedom in Christ, then we actually have freedom in Christ. In 2 Peter, it talks about living as free men. When it says live as free men, a part of that, implying to that is, you take responsibility for your decisions, right or wrong, and advice is advice. And again, I think we're a lot better at this, but I don't know. I remember 20 years ago in the church when advice often wasn't actually advice, you know? Now, if you've only been around for a few years, you haven't experienced that, lucky you. Okay, lucky you. All right? But again, things like that tend to kind of drag along, and especially maybe some of us have been around for a while. We're kind of, you know, they did that to us, so, you know. So let's remember this. Advice is advice. All right, and that applies to both the person giving the advice and receiving the advice.
Yep.
So when somebody is giving you advice, and then you take that advice and it goes bad for you, whose fault is that?
Yours.
Your fault, 100%.
Yep.
Why? Because advice is advice, and they're just giving you advice. Now, if they give you advice and it doesn't go well for you, you could go back to them and say, by the way, amen, awesome. Still love you, but just so you know, you know, that didn't work out so well. So maybe next time, you know, possibly you might want to give different advice. But amen, we're cool. All right, got it? All right, let's go back to Colossians 1.
Hey, man, bro, great point.
Great advice, bro, come on.
The bottom line is, we need to take this to heart.
Yeah.
All right? Because I don't know about you, but I want to do God's will. And, you know, I'm thankful that I don't need advice generally about how to teach my chemistry classes anymore. And I'm thankful that I don't have to, you know, get help on how to balance my checkbook, you know. And, you know, God's given me a little bit of wisdom over time. But I know this, that if I have an attitude, the prideful attitude that says I don't need counsel or advice, then I'm going to be a fool. And my plans are going to fail. And, okay, but even worse than that, God won't be happy. And I won't be doing God's will. I don't know about you, but I want to do God's will. So let's go back and reread Colossians 1, 9. We'll just read verse 9 and 10. So remember the goal of this. It's not to get disciples in line or to create a well-run church where, you know, everything's, you know, machinery's oiled real well. That's not the goal.
Nope.
The goal is to make God happy.
Yep.
All right? And probably our lives will go better as well. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and at least in part because you kept getting advice for a long time. It's not in there, but I'm just add that. All right? And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come on, Gabriel. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about advice for me, being a disciple for like 17 years. The more advice I get, I know I'm a lot happier to succeed.
Yep.
But I've been through a lot of discipline in my Christian walk, and that a lot had to do with not getting advice.
Yeah.
I do what I wanted to do based on what I thought, what I was feeling, what other people said that were not disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So